If your Bible, turn to Acts chapter 2, Acts chapter 2 tonight. I want you to look with me at verse 13, verse 13. We'll be looking at some other scriptures, but we just want to read this verse right here. Verse 13, and others mocking said, these men are full of new wine. These men are full of new wine. Now, we know what they were talking about because this is chapter 2 of Acts, is the day of Pentecost, and we know this was the coming of the Holy Spirit, and He came in power. And we know that the disciples were able to speak in many, many different languages there that day. You'll notice, if you will, look back up there in verse 7, and they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, behold, are not all these which speak Galilean? And how hear we every man in his own tongue wherein he was born? So we know the miracle here is that men could speak a language that they did not train for or did not learn. And it was a great day. And so the crowd, they thought this is strange, and so they just said, well, these men are full of new wine. Now, our text is a story we all know well here tonight, because when we look at this here chapter, we know what he's talking about. Can I say what you read in this Bible is true? Can I say that tonight? It's true. If you don't even understand it, it's still true. You might as well, you need to accept it. I don't understand everything in the Bible. I'd be a liar if I stood up here and told you I understood everything in this book right here. I don't. But by the grace of God, I believe what this book says, and I stand on that. The problem we have in the church today is that most have never seen any real miracle working power of God. And so they get nervous when a preacher talks about the power of God. When they talk about the miracles of God, people get very nervous when a preacher does that. The truth is this, many will tell you the days of miracles are over. In other words, they don't even want to explain it. They just say it's all over with, and so that has, so that's the end of it. If that's true, then we may as well close the church doors and all just go down the road here to Dairy Queen and have an ice cream cone. We'd be doing just as much good down there as we would here. But hear me, church. Many men and women are in trouble and they need a miracle. I mean, that's the sad thing. They don't believe in miracles, but they need a miracle. And it's so needed in this hour. Understand, God works a miracle every time He saves a soul. That's a miracle. That is a miracle right there. Because salvation is a miracle from God. Now, can I ask this question before we get started? If you have experienced that miracle of salvation, give God a big amen. All right, now take your Bible, turn with me to the book of John, chapter 2. John chapter 2. Now, in John chapter 2, we're going to read about the first miracle that our Lord Jesus Christ ever performed. Years ago, when I was up in Washington State at the Calvary Baptist Church in Yakima, Washington, and by the way, Brother John was up there out on the firing range working for, I guess, the military up there. And he went to my old church up there. I haven't been there in years, but it's still there. And it's called Calvary Baptist Church. It's out on Washington Avenue. That's the road that goes right into the airport. In other words, it's just a short distance from the airport. And it was at that airport that I learned to fly. I did my first solo there, my cross countries out of there, and that's where I learned to fly. And so Yakima was a very special place in my life at that time. We started the first bus ministry to ever run in the Yakima Valley. We had a broadcast on a KBBO, which was a Christian radio station there when we were there. So at that church, we had a special service on a New Year's Eve. And some of you have heard me tell this. We had invited several preachers to come and preach at that New Year's Eve service. And so they came. We had one preacher that was from down in the inner part of Yakima, the closer to the main part of the city, and he came out to preach for us, and he said in his sermon something that just floored me. I mean, I wasn't expecting it. I don't think nobody else was expecting it, but he said, when Jesus was just a little boy, Jesus would make clay pigeons. In other words, he would mold and take clay and make clay pigeons and throw them up into the air and they would fly away. My, it sounded good. It sounded good, and I think the man was really serious. I think he really believed what he'd said because he may have read it from some theologian years ago or something. But what was so bad, it was not true. It was not true because the Bible doesn't back that up. You say you're going to have to go by the Bible and not what theologians say. You're going to have to take the Word of God. You see, some people are always looking for something unusual or something new, something that nobody else has ever preached. I told you about the sermon I preached one time out of the book of Psalms where it talks about there goes the ships. And I was so proud of my sermon. I said, man, nobody else has ever preached this sermon right here. I really built myself up. And then one day I was reading through one of Spurgeon's books and there, how dare Mr. Spurgeon, he had used my sermon and he used it on the same line of thinking that I used it. So there's nothing really new. You're not going to come up with a new sermon. But you know, this is one of the traps that young preachers fall into, is trying to come up with something new. Now, what they need to do is remember what Solomon said. He said, there is no new thing under the sun. So whether you're an old preacher or whether you're a young preacher, our job is to preach the book. That's what God has called us to do, not to be trying to search these pages and come up with something that nobody else has ever preached on. You're not going to do it. It's not going to happen. Too many sermons have been preached out of this Bible. They've used about every text, and you might as well just go ahead and say, hey, probably somebody else preached this very same thing. And in fact, when you preach the gospel and you preach the book, that's the best preaching you can ever do anyway. That is the best. When you preach the gospel, how many times have we heard the gospel? I mean, think about it. In this church, we preach the same sermon practically every Sunday. It would be the gospel. The gospel. It never gets old. It never gets tiring. It's always fresh. It's always good because it's the gospel. And that's what we are to preach. And that is what is needed in this hour that we're living in today. I want you to notice there in verse 11 of John chapter 2. We'll read this in just a moment, but notice verse 11. This beginning of miracles did Jesus in Canaan of Galilee and manifest forth His glory, and His disciples believed on Him. The first miracle that Jesus ever performed, according to the Word of God, is the turning of water into wine. Now let me read starting in verse 1. And the third day there was a marriage in Canaan of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Both Jesus was called and His disciples to the marriage. Now often in a sermon, I mean not a sermon, but in a wedding, I will make the statement that it's good that we invite Jesus to come to our wedding. When I did the wedding for my son up in Cleveland, Ohio, many years ago, they told me, said, Dad, we want you to put the plan of salvation into our wedding. And so in that wedding that we did for Richard and Donna, I gave the complete plan of salvation about us being lost and undone on our way to hell, And Jesus Christ came. He died on the cross. He paid the price. And now all we've got to do is receive it. And I said, Donna and Richard would like for you, if you're not a Christian, to receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. It worked out real good in the marriage ceremony and everything. And I was glad I did that because they wanted it in their ceremony. Now, notice what he said. And the third day there was a marriage in Canaan of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Both Jesus was called and his disciples to the marriage. And when they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus saith unto him, they have no wine. Jesus saith unto her, woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come. His mother saith unto the servants, whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. And there was set 6 water pots of stone after the manner of the purifying of the Jews, containing 2 or 3 fragments apiece. And Jesus saith unto them, fill the water pots with water. And they filled them to the brim. And he said unto them, draw out now and bear unto the governors of the feast. And they bear it. And the ruler of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine and knew not whence it was. But the servants which drew the water knew. The governor of the feast called the bridegroom and saith unto him, every man at the beginning doth set forth good wine, and when men have well drunk, then that which is worse, but thou hast kept the good wine until now. This beginning of miracles did Jesus in Canaan of Galilee and manifest forth his glory, and his disciples believed on him. Now, if you've heard a sermon on this portion of Scripture or you have studied it out, you will realize that in this picture here of the first miracle, we have a real good picture of mankind. Real good picture. You'll notice that there were 6 water pots, and you know that 6 is the number of man. 6 is the number of man. So we have 6 water pots, and they represent man. They represented you and I before we were saved. There are 3 things said about these water pots that we can see in the Scripture. These 3 things were, they were empty now, and then they were cold, and they were hard. They were what? Empty, they were cold, and they were hard. Now that's exactly the way you find mankind. When you go out and you see the world, and you talk to those out there that do not know the Lord Jesus Christ, they are empty of the truth. They are empty of the Holy Spirit. They have nothing in them. They are empty and they're cold. They'll tell you off real quick. They don't want it. They have no time for God. They have no time for the Bible. They're cold to spiritual things. They'll just walk away. They don't care. And then they were hard. In other words, it's hard to get through to them. And so we see 3 things here. Now, all of these 3 things are real about everybody, including you, before you came to the Lord Jesus Christ and was born again. Now, look at what Jesus says to the servants here. Now, his mother had come to him and said, hey, they've run out of wine. And Jesus, according to what some people will say, he was very rude with his mother. But the truth is, if we knew, you know, language, we know it in our English. And in our English, it seems like he was talking sort of blunt with her. But if we could see it otherwise, we would see that he uses words that have affection. Words that are not considered cruel or hard. But he speaks to his mother in a good way. And that's the way we should speak to our mothers. Because God wants us to do that. And so she went and told the servants, now whatever he tells you to do, you do it. You do it. Now there are some Bible scholars that tell you that she was sort of trying to push Jesus into exposing himself as the Son of God. Well, I'm not going to get into that. I'm not smart enough for that. But I will say this. She went and told the servants, now what he tells you to do, you do it. And Jesus came and look what he told the servants to do. In verse 7, he told them to fill the water pots with water. Now, in the Bible, you know this. Water is a type of the Word of God. Now, you also know that these six water pots that were there at this wedding, those six water pots were used to wash the feet of the guests when they came in. So this water was cleansing water for their feet. It was to clean their feet. And so we have here a thought about the Word of God, that it is the Word of God that can cleanse us. It is the Word of God that we need to cleanse us. It was not for drinking, but it was for cleansing. Now, there's a verse in the Bible that explains this. It says over in Psalm 119, verse 9, "Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way?" And you know the answer is this: by taking heed thereto according to thy word. If you want to get right with God, the best place to go is to the Bible. If you want to know how to be saved, the best place to go is to the Word of God. So, church, the water now will be turned into wine. And that's what we have in this story we read just a moment ago. It shows how the water was turned into wine. Now, the master, he didn't know how this happened. He did not understand. You see that in verse 9 there. It says, "And the ruler of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine, and knew not whence it was." I wonder what he'd have thought if he'd have knew that it was coming from the pots that had been used to wash the feet of the guests that came in. But understand this. In the Bible, wine is a type of the Holy Spirit. A type of the Holy Spirit. Remember, the Holy Spirit is what? He is the producer of certain things in our life. And we'll see that in just a moment. But in this case right here, we can say that the Holy Spirit is the producer of joy in the child of God. This is why a child of God can have joy in the midst of a storm. And the world don't understand that. We can have joy although everything around us is falling apart. And my friends, that is what this world needs right now. My friends, we're living in a day when a governor of a state, because of disaster that has come to his state, will go on national television and use profanity. Wonder who he thinks he's impressing. Wonder who he thinks he's making look big because he uses profanity. I mean, if anything, his position ought to cause him to want to speak in a way that glorifies and honors God instead of making him look like a hypocrite. But the fact is, we're living in a day when America has turned its back on God. I mean, our leaders, we've just turned our back on God. Thank God that's not true with everybody, but it is true with many. Now, the Holy Spirit is the producer of joy. As I said, that's why you and I know you and I, we have our down times too. We have our times when things are not going too good. Yes, we have those. But my friends, the Holy Spirit still lets us have joy. And you know why we have joy? Because we know that everything is still in the control of God. That's why you can have joy when your world is falling apart. That's the reason you can have joy when you lose a job or you don't know where your next income is coming from. You don't have to start cursing. You don't have to start being a bad person. You can trust God. And because you trust God, you can have joy. Now, we the saved, we are waiting on something to happen. And you know that is the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Again, I'm here tonight because Jesus didn't come this afternoon. I'll be here Wednesday night if Jesus doesn't come before Wednesday night. I'm going to turn the service over to Brother Gene for Wednesday night. Amen. 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 So what we have is the fact that we as Christians are in a waiting process. Doesn't mean we don't do anything. It don't mean we don't keep living and keep serving and keep preaching the gospel, but we are in a waiting process, like an airplane waiting to land, going around and around. I have been around and around JFK in New York numbers of times before they could land. In Boston Logan Field, I've circled it several times before we could land. They were waiting until they were cleared to come in. We're waiting for Jesus to come in the air and call us as Christians up to meet Him in the air. Now, what has God done for you and I in this waiting process that we have? The Lord has given to us new wine. New wine. Let's go back over there to the book of Acts chapter 3, chapter 2 again, if you will. And notice these words again. Others mocking saith, these men are full of new wine. Other men mocking said, these men are full of new wine. You'll remember over in Ephesians chapter 2, and I believe verse 18, it reads, and be not drunk with wine, where it's in excess, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. I'm just paraphrasing that last part there. This tells us any time that we are being led into sin, any time that we are being led into sin, we have no right to tell people that, well, God led me, or God said this was okay. God does not lead into sin. God does not bless people that go into sin. But my friends, when we go into sin, it's because we are drinking from the world's wine bottle. That's why we go into sin. And sad to say, many in the church are drinking from the wine bottle of this world. That's right. You know, you didn't expect to see this years ago, but we see so-called Christians talking in such ways that it makes you wonder, have they ever been saved? Have they ever been born again? They put so little emphasis on the Word of God. They put so little emphasis on being in the house of God. They very seldom ever pray. What's going on? We see little difference between the world and the church today. The world and the church. Very little difference. It seems like we've just sort of blended together. And now we look just about the same. Very little difference. But church, hear me. God has for His people new wine. He has for you and I new wine. In this new wine is God's own life, God's own virtue, God's own character. That's what He's telling us over there in that verse in Ephesians. He's saying, don't drink wine where it is in excess, because what He's saying there is wine will cause you to do things that later you'll be ashamed of. Later you'll be ashamed of what you've done. Don't do something that is controlling you and causing you to go into sin. It's drunk people that do crazy things. And so we find that His wine will not cause you to do things like that. No, sir. No, sir. His wine is for those that, you might say, have a very clear understanding that prayer is important to the people of God. Do you remember where the children of God were before the day of Pentecost took place? They were in the upper room. When we mention the word upper room, it causes one to think about prayer. And so, if you are a person that believes in prayer, that's because of the new wine. That's what God's wine will cause you to do. It will make you a prayer warrior. It will cause you to believe in prayer. It will change your life. Prayer is very important. And if you're drinking the new wine that's from above, then you'll believe in prayer. Also, this new wine gives boldness. You'll find in Acts chapter 2 and verse 14, to stand up and to speak up. In other words, these early Christians, after the coming of the Holy Spirit, they began to preach and witness and testify. When the church is full of new wine, our message will be about Jesus. Someone has said the message is the book, the blood, and the blessed hope. And I believe that to be true. If you can agree, say amen. Not only does the new wine do that, but the new wine produces faithfulness in God's people. Faithfulness in God's people. In the book of Acts chapter 2 and verse 42 it says, "And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and in fellowship and in the breaking of bread and in prayer." Now when people are hit and miss, they're not drinking new wine. When people are living out without the Word of God in their life, they're not drinking new wine. When people are stingy with God, they're not drinking new wine. When people do not have a love for the Word of God, they're not drinking new wine. Now, what about old wine? What about that old wine of the world? Well, that old wine of the world will take you where you should not want to go. I've seen many a person talk about the things that they once were doing, they were serving God, they were in church, and then they left the church and went out into the world. You heard Brother Aaron say tonight about, as a boy, he remembered that young man that came down to the old building, that the front part of his head was just sunk in. Looked like it was just sunk in. And that old man told me that he was called to preach when he was a young man back in the Carolinas. He was called to preach. He went out on the street corners and preached and was serving God. And he had a knowledge of the Word of God. He could quote scriptures to you one after another. And out there, he one day decided, "I'm going to quit this." And he went back and left that and left God behind and went back into the world. And that man ended up in the shape that he was in. And he will tell you, "I am like this because God brought judgment down on me." That was his own words. I preached that man's funeral. Yes. He knew he'd done wrong. You know what, today, my friends, we've got a lot of people that are doing wrong that know they're not doing right. And they need to change things because one of these days they're going to answer to God. So old wine will take you where you should not go. And it'll cause you to see what you should not see and do what you should not do. I'm telling the truth, and you know it. That's what old wine will do. It will bring destruction in your life, in your marriage, with your children. It will bring destruction. God, help us not to go to the ways of the world, but help us to stay with God, because that's important. Well, let me close by saying tonight, let the world say we are full of new wine. Because that's what they say. They say we're crazy. They think you're crazy tonight because you're in church. That means we got a lot more people that are sane than we have that are crazy. Because there's more of our people out there tonight than they are in here tonight. But I want to tell you, you're not the crazy one. You're the wise one. Because you're in church. You're trying to do right. You're trying to raise your children right. You're trying to stay in the book. You're being faithful in your Christian life. That is wise to do. Let them say what they want to. I mean, because they say you're crazy don't mean you're crazy. I've been said that ever since I got called to preach. People have been saying things about me. And I realize, dear friends, that you know, if I'm going to listen to the world, I'm going to get sidetracked. So I just made up my mind. I'm going to stay faithful and try to do what I know is right. Try to stay in the Word. Try to be in church when I can. And try to give like I should give. And try to serve like I should serve. Because if I will do that, it don't matter if they say I'm drinking new wine. Because the truth is, I am. I'm drinking the new wine that causes you to serve God, not to disappoint God in your life. Praise God. The world might be right when they say they are full of new wine. I'd rather have them say that than say something else, because I believe tonight it's an honor to be identified with the people of God. It's an honor to do that. And I'm glad to be on that side. I want us just to bow our heads for a moment.